Well, I thank the Lord for this opportunity to be here. I thank the Lord for that song. Sometimes songs just have a way the Lord will cause things just to kind of tie in a little bit. And I feel like that song kind of goes right along with this thought that the Lord gave me. And I appreciate being willing to lead out. And might not get all the words right, but the message in that song is powerful, and what that means, that we don't have the capability, we don't have the power, but thankful that we serve one who does. Written the words on the board, where are we standing? I guess I'd like to make it, I guess, just a little more personal if we could each ask ourselves, where am I standing? And I guess I would like for us to just reflect a little bit this evening on where each of us individually are standing. And I don't mean a literal or physical sitting or standing, but just thinking about living, just living in this whirlwind of life, just the ins and the outs of every day. And if I can take a look at myself and reflect upon myself, where do I fit in that? How do I see things? And what are, as I see the things going on around me, whether they be good or bad, or whether they be happy things or sad things, what is my perception from where I currently am in my life? What is my take on everything that's going around me, or how do I process what I see? What are the big issues to me as I live out my life? What are the things that are big? What are the things that I am easily overcome by? If we could just somehow maybe just kind of zoom out and look at ourselves each individually and just kind of think about, where am I at? How do things affect me? How am I affected by things? How do I see just certain things in life? And I'll get into a little bit more detail about that. But I was thinking, so many of the time, it seems like we are faced with big things. We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. I believe Brother Rod touched on it a little bit. But people are faced with big things. It might not seem like a big thing to someone else kind of on the sideline, but for the person that is there in that moment in time, things can be overwhelming. Things can be really big. Things can be very tiring and very frustrating and hard to deal with. But as I was thinking about this, I was thinking that, you know, many times the things that appear closest to us, or the things that appear biggest to us, are the things that we're standing the closest to. I want to say that again. The things that appear the biggest to us are much of the times the things that we're standing the closest to. Many times, depending on where I'm standing, depends on what I can see and my perspective of that thing. I'll give you an example. How many of you do enjoy going out on a very dark night with no clouds in the sky, getting away from the city lights, and looking up in the sky and seeing the millions and millions of stars? I assume we all have done that at some point, and we enjoy that. I enjoy that. Have you ever given any thought, as you look up at those stars, the significance of a star and how big that star actually is? You know, it's easy to look at that star and just quickly think, wow, look at that star. But look at all these stars, that tiny little speck, that tiny little sparkle in the sky. But do you know from where you're standing, you're not getting a true and accurate, you're not seeing that star for really what it is. You're not. Fun fact is, do you know the average size of a star? The average size of a star is most of the time bigger than our planet Earth. But from where we're standing, from our perception, we don't see it as big as it actually is. Another quick little experiment. You don't have to go along with it, but I believe it would maybe help us understand. You know about how tall I am. 5.5 foot tall, a little bit more than that. If each of you were to take your finger and put it right up by your eye, almost touching your face, and line it up with me, what appears bigger? The finger. Not many people cooperated, but I saw a few. So the few that did cooperate, was your finger bigger than me? Is your finger bigger than me in reality? No, it's not. But it's from where you're sitting or where you're standing is how you perceive. It's how you see me. Now, we know that I'm, of course, bigger than your finger. We know that the star, of course, appears bigger than we see it. So, many times, the things that appear small might not be accurate, depending on where we're standing. And many times, the things that appear biggest to us, in this case my finger, it's bigger than Brother Rod is right now, is only because of where I'm standing. So if we can understand that many times the things that appear biggest to us is the things we are standing closest to. I want to ask the question, so how big is God? How big is God? Now I know you could respond in a way and you could say, Brother Chad, you can't measure God that way. I mean, it's God can't be measured by earthly standards. And I understand that. So we know God is God. There's a verse in Psalms that said God has, I believe, when we read, He's all powerful, but I think there's a verse in Psalms that says He has infinite understanding. We know that God is, for lack of words, is big. Bigger than we can imagine, bigger than we can take in, and that is absolute, that is true. But how big is God to you? If we agree and can get a hold of the fact that the things that we stand closest to, those are the things that are biggest to us much of the time in our lives. I'd like to look at a scripture in 1 Samuel. It's the story of the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt. 1 Samuel 17, and 1 Samuel 17, No, I'm sorry. That's another passage later on. Let's do Exodus 14. Children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. But again, thinking about how big is God to you. And again, I'm thinking about when we are in the middle of life and we were faced with those things that we were talking about this morning. When people are faced with those difficult things and we are up against those challenging things that life has to throw us. At that moment in time, how big are those things to us? Versus how big is God to us? When we face those difficult situations in life and those hardships in life, in those trouble spots in life, and we almost come under the burden of being overwhelmed by them, those things get really, really big. Just speaking from personal experience over everyone over the last few years and the things that we've been through, the things that we've had to endure as a congregation, as individuals, as children of God, the things that we've had to endure. And as we go through those things in that moment in time, it's hard to see. It's hard to see outside of this thing that stared me in the face. Yes, those things get very, very big. But it's in those situations that the Lord has challenged me. How big is that thing to you? And that thing is very big. But how big is that thing to you versus how big I am to you? Let's look at this scripture in Exodus. Exodus 14. We'll read a few verses here. We won't read the whole story. We know the story well. The children of Israel, Moses come, and you know, he went before Pharaoh several times. We had the plagues. Pharaoh was flip-flopping, changing his mind back and forth. But finally, there came a time that Pharaoh gave in. And the children of Israel, Moses leads them into the wilderness. And they're on their way, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened again. Let's pick up in verse 5. Exodus 14 and 5. So someone came and told the king that the people had left Egypt. And again, Pharaoh's heart was hardened again. So, verse 5, it says, And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Now, as we read these next couple verses, I like to try to think of this literally and think of this as if it were happening. And I think it helps us get an accurate representation, in this case, of what the children of Israel were up against. And he made ready his chariot, talking about Pharaoh, and he took his people with him. And he took 600 chariots, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea. I want to think of this in a literal sense. And I know we read the story, but I want to give special attention to this detail. I want us to think about the children of Israel and what the influences that they were under, the bondage they were under, the slavery that they were under, the difficult things that they faced in their life. They're as slaves. And then they finally get the word that Pharaoh has decided to let them go, to set them free. Can you imagine the excitement? Can you imagine the joy that they were overcome by? Can you imagine the hooping and the hollering and the rejoicing and the chitter chattering? We're free. And they go on their way. But Pharaoh's heart is hardened once again. So Pharaoh puts together his army. I believe it said 600 chariots and all the chariots of Egypt. And all the captains. This is telling me Pharaoh, he's changed his mind and he's getting together all his resources to pursue the children of Israel once again. And he said what did he do? He encamped them. He pinned them up against the Red Sea. Verse 9, it says, well, I lost my place, but that's why. Verse 9 says, he overtook them, encamping them by the sea. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. I wonder how much panic and fear that the children of Israel felt at that very moment when they saw Pharaoh coming after them. Their joy, their happiness, their thrill of being set free, no longer in bondage, no longer a slave. And then somehow, some way, maybe they caught word or they turned and they saw Pharaoh and his army coming after them. No doubt they were in a very panicked situation. In fact, we know they were because they started crying to Moses. And they said unto Moses, well, it says, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians, that we should die in the wilderness. I want to get a picture here of how big this became to them. And rightly so. You were able to put all of this behind you. You have lived all your life in this bondage and in this slavery. You were able, by the help and the mercy of the Lord helping Moses, you were able to put that behind you. Now you have this, you are free, you are on your way. And then life takes a turn. Life takes a major turn. And I can't help but think that this was probably really big to them. Probably bigger than anything that you and I have ever faced. But this was really big. And we do face really big things. We face things that are scary. We face things that hurt. We face things that we're not sure that we can come out of. We face things that we think are going to do us in, that we are going to cave to. We face things in our world that we see each and every day that we don't know how we're going to be able to deal with if these kind of things were allowed to go on. And these things can get... They are. They don't get. They are really, really big. And they can become overwhelming, and we can get discouraged from these things. But I thought about this story because I remembered this next verse. Verse 13. And this is the verse that came to me as the Lord brought these thoughts to my mind. So here we have the children crying to Moses.
have taken a complete turn in their thoughts. And I wish I would have stayed in Egypt. Why couldn't you have left us in Egypt? And listen to what Moses says. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And we'll read the beginning of that 13th verse. And Moses said unto them, said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Now I asked a question, is where are we standing? You know, to be able to see God for who He is and for what He can do, there's going to be a certain place in this life that we're going to have to stand. Again, much of the time, the things that appear the biggest to us is the things that we're standing the closest to. The children of Israel saw Pharaoh and his army coming. And they panicked. They were afraid. They started crying. And I probably would have done the same thing. But at that moment in time, that was the thing that they were standing the closest to, was their fear. They were standing close to their fear. They were panicking. That's all that they could see. Their vision was clouded by fear, by desperation, and all those types of things. But Moses said, fear not and stand still. You've got to be able to focus on something else. You've got to be able to focus on the help that is available. But in order to be able to see that, in order to be able to see God and what He can do for you, you're going to have to stand still. You're going to have to turn. You're going to have to see God for who He is and for the salvation that He has and for what He can do and how He can get you out of this situation. And I think much of the time, we become so focused on where we are standing in this life. We might not think about it as, this is where I'm standing. But we think about it as, look at everything that's going on around. How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to deal with that? What are we going to do if this group of people over here does this? What am I going to do if this problem gets any bigger? And what tends to happen is, That's where our thoughts are. That's where our mind is. That's all we can focus on. Because that's where we're standing. We're standing next to that thing. We're putting ourselves in a place that is allowing us to maybe see those things more than we should. Maybe we're sitting around giving too much time and thought to these things. And I know these things are... I know these things are serious and these things are real and problems are big and problems are real. But do you know those things can hinder our sight. Those things can hinder our vision of who God is. And God is. God is absolute. Truth is truth. Truth does not change. But where we are in our life can change our perception. Can change how we see God. Can hinder me from seeing Him at all sometimes. Sometimes these things can be so big and overwhelming that I cannot see through them in order to see God and to see what He can do for me. So that's why I asked the question, how big is God to you? Is God the same size? Is God as powerful to you? Are you in a place? Are you standing in a place in your life, in a relationship with God, that you can draw from that power that He has to give? That you can see the salvation that the Lord has to offer to give to you to get through these difficult places in our life? You know, we have many opportunities to choose. We were given a choice of what we want to do with our lives and where we want to be with our lives and where we want to stand. My burden this evening is, where are we standing? Are we standing in a place that I can clearly see who God is to me? Who He is to me personally, so that I can draw on that, so that I can get the help that I need? It's going to be hard for me to draw and get the help that I need from the Lord if I'm standing in a place that I shouldn't be standing in. If I'm giving in to the things of the world and I'm letting the things of the world encamp me and surround me and come against me, and I'm just standing there, it's going to be hard for me to draw, to receive the help from the Lord if my relationship is not where it needs to be with Him. So how big is God to you? I'd like to look at another example. 1 Samuel, story of David. 1 Samuel 17. Again, we won't go over the whole story. 1 Samuel 17, we'll probably start around verse 34. This is the story where David's father, Jesse, had wanted David to go down and check on his brothers there in the army that were under Saul. And so David did that. David goes down and he's checking on his brothers. And you know how the story unfolds. As he's there, he sees Goliath and a really big man, a really big giant. But as I read through these next few verses, I was so impressed with David's response to what so many were fearful of. His response to Saul, his response to Saul about the giant. Let's read this. Verse 34. So David goes down, he sees the Philistine, he sees the Philistines, he sees Goliath, he sees the Saul's army afraid. And David, he goes to Saul. So let's start at verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant," talking about himself, "will go and fight this Philistine." Very much confidence here. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David, he begins to give an example. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after them and smote them and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear under this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with me." I was impressed here with the example that David gave. And again, I'm thinking about the big things that we face in life. And I think about David sitting out there in that field, and I think about the lion and the bear that came up against David. And I think about, again, I think about how would I have reacted to a lion and a bear. And David tells the story that he was able to get the sheep, the lamb, back from the lion and the bear. But David didn't take the credit. David gave the credit to the Lord. He said, "The Lord help me with this." And I give that example before we go on to the rest of the story is, David knew what it meant to rely on the Lord for help. David knew what it meant to have a relationship with God. David knew what it meant to stand where the Lord wanted him to stand. So the story goes on. And he comes up. We know he goes out. He tries on the armor. He didn't want Saul's armor. He goes out and he faces Goliath. Verse 45. They had some words. David and Goliath had some words back and forth. Verse 44. And the Philistine, Goliath, said to David, "Come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel." I give this example because I think it's very important that we take note of where David got his strength from. How David faced Goliath. How he did not face Goliath on his own power. Just like he didn't face the lion and the bear on his own power. David came up against something difficult, something big, but we never once, as the scripture is recorded, see any sign of fear from David facing Goliath. Now, I'm not saying that we should get to the point in our lives that we're not going to face any fear. I think that's unrealistic. But I appreciate what we can draw from this example. Is that David was in a place in his life that he knew the Lord. When he gave the example to Saul, he had something that he could reflect back upon. He says, "Saul, I'm thinking I'll go up against this Philistine. I will go up against this giant. This giant that everyone is afraid of, that this whole nation is afraid of. Because I've been in some difficult places. I've been in some hard places in my life. But I have a relationship with the Lord. I've stood where the Lord wants me to stand. And I was able to draw help from the Lord. And He was able to help me." David was standing in the right place. And as he met Goliath, as he met this giant, what's the song say? David, oh so small, Goliath, oh so tall. As he faced this big thing in his life, he was standing in the right place. He was standing, at this point in David's life, he was standing in the Lord's favor. He was where the Lord wanted him to be. And how true it is with us that in order to see God and to see who He is and to be able to benefit from His power and from the strength that He wants to give, our relationship with Him is going to have to be a very close relationship. Do I have the ability to see God? Is my relationship, for lack of a better term, up to par? You know, there'll be many times I'll go through life and I'll reflect back And I'll start to question some things. And, you know, I know we all go through those times that maybe we don't feel as close to the Lord. And I know there's places in life, and there are those times we go through. But there are times we go through that we're not as close to the Lord as we could be. We're affected by what goes on around us. Things can creep into our lives and take a hold of us without us knowing the damage they're doing to us, or without us knowing of how they're shifting us. You know, we can be standing here and have a clear vision of who God is, have a good understanding of who He is, what He is. But you know, just by living in this life, by living in this world, if we're not careful, the things of this world can have an effect on us and change where we're standing and cause us to shift our position. Maybe on certain things. Maybe there's things in my life where I felt this way. The Lord had given me a conviction about this, and I felt it best that I let this thing go, and that I was very careful with this thing, or maybe how much I partook of it, or how much I participated in something. And you know, over time, if we're not careful, those things can. We can allow those things to creep back in. And over time, we become numb to the effect that they have on us. And before long, we're not standing here anymore. We have moved. This thing has caused us to shift our position. And we might not be standing where we clearly have a clear sight of who God is. Lord, help us to not allow the things of this world. Now I'm talking about things of this world to dim our vision, to cloud our vision. You know, there might be sometimes as we live life, it might be a good idea sometimes to put the blinders on. When you start to feel overwhelmed or overtaken, and I can't deal with this anymore, and this is just troubling my mind. So, these things get big to people. My burden is that we keep ourselves, as we live in this world and everything is going on around us. And I keep saying the things of this world, but even the real circumstances in life that we face. Even all the hardships that we have faced individually as a congregation, that we not let those things become bigger to us than God is to us. God is big. God is powerful. God is infinite. I want to be in a place in my life where I can draw on that infinite power and that infinite understanding that He has. I felt so challenged when the Lord gave me this. The Lord, it is so easy. It is so easy to lose my focus. It is so easy to get distracted And even though we say this, we feel we say this a lot, but even though I walk through those doors, and I don't literally walk through those doors every Sunday, but some of y'all do, and even though you walk through those doors every Sunday, you still might not have a clear vision. Lord, help us that we will be aware of where we're standing in this life. Where is our location in my spiritual life? In my circle that contains my spiritual life, in my relationship with God. And if I have a circle and He's at the center, and that's where I need to be standing, closest to Him. Am I standing over here? Has life gotten to me so much that I've moved? And now I got something big over here, and I'm standing, and this is all I can see. This is what I'm being overwhelmed by. This is what's giving me my anxiety. I've been there. Things, Brother Rod says it often, things are real. Even for a child of God, things become very real. Things become very hard. Lord, help us in those times that we stand closer to the Lord than how close we're standing to those things. And what does that mean? How do I stand in my spiritual life? I think we mentioned it earlier. It's what I give my thoughts to. It's what I give my time to. It's what I allow my mind to dwell on. No, we're not talking about my physical feet and where I'm standing, but where I allow. How much time do I spend with the Lord? How much time do I spend reading and praying in this busy schedule? Do I allow a calendar, a clock to control my life, and I try to keep up? Or do I purposely and intentionally set aside time to make sure that I am standing where the Lord wants me to stand? That's my burden this evening. That we will intentionally spend the time with the Lord, our thoughts, our mind, that we can be standing where He wants us to stand. So that when we do face these things, God is still bigger. God is, to me, we know God is bigger than these things. But in that moment of time when I am faced with those difficult things in life, that God is bigger than those things, those difficult things. Y'all pray for me that I can stand where the Lord wants me to stand. Amen.